Amnon Rubinstein's book, from which I have taken a number of citations, has appeared in English, though we should not pretend that non-Jews do not read Hebrew and follow what is published in the Israeli press. The article by Rabbi Yisrael Hess, The Commandment of Genocide in the Torah, received widespread publicity and was even discussed in an English-language publication of the University of Cape Town. The burning of the New Testament was discussed in the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Knesset, Maariv, July 5, 1985, and debated on Israeli television. Mika Hain publishes his views in English. A conspiracy of silence about these beliefs and this use of the tradition allows them to go unchallenged, and encourages those who propagate them. There can be no remedy without first identifying the problem. By hiding our shame from outsiders, we hide it from ourselves as well. The Torah says many times, "You shall sweep out the evil from your midst." At the very least, we must cry the apologists who claim that non-Jews understand that Jews, like every human society, have lunatic fringes who should not be taken seriously are being irresponsible. Kahane won election to the Knesset, and support for his position in Israel has been rising. The same applies to other religious extremists. They are not a negligible element. Idolatry and the fate of the Christian Arabs. According to the religious extremists, Christians are classed as idolaters. The classification of Christians as idolaters has apparently become widespread and accepted in religious literature. This is not merely a theoretical matter, since practical conclusions flow from it. For example, in 1979 Rabbi Yosef issued a ruling that copies of the New Testament should be torn out of any edition of a Bible owned by a Jew and destroyed. Haaretz, October 23, 1979. This ruling did not remain a dead letter. An item in the newspaper Maariv, June 14, 1985, reported the burning of a copy of the New Testament found in the library at the base of a chief. These manifestations of hostility, the designation of Christians as idolaters, the demand to invoke resident alien ordinances, and the burning of the New Testament are distressing. Outside the land of Israel, Jews never dared behave in this fashion. Has independence made the Jews take leave of their senses? P. Emphasis supplied. Huckabee continues by quoting Maimonides on the two different legal systems, one when the Gentiles are predominant and another when it is forbidden to show them mercy, as it was said, "Nor show mercy unto them." Deut 7:2. Hence, if one sees one of them who worships idols perishing or drowning, one is not to save him. Hence you learn that it is forbidden to heal idolaters even for a fee. But if one is afraid of them, or apprehends that refusal might cause ill will, medical treatment may be given for a fee, but not gratuitously. The foregoing rules apply to the time when the people of Israel live exiled among the nations, or when the Gentiles' power is predominant. But when Israel is predominant over the nations of the world, we are forbidden to permit a Gentile who is an idolater to dwell among us. He must not enter our land, even as a temporary resident, or even as a traveler, journeying with merchandise from place to place, until he has undertaken to keep the 7 precepts which the Noachides were commanded to observe. Hilchot Avodah Zarah, ch. 10:8. Emphasis supplied. Clearly, the soul of Israel is being corroded from within. The crisis of leadership infects the entire society. As quoted, Huckabee says that there is a conspiracy of silence to keep the knowledge of the intentions of the religious extremists from the rest of the world. The only solution, Huckabee emphasizes, is to expose and challenge the religious fanatics, because by hiding our shame from outsiders, we hide it from ourselves as well. Chapter 11: Saving Israel from Suicide. Here are many things in the relationship between American Jews and Israel that have very little to do with Israel's best interests. The Israeli mystique, the unquestioning devotion of American Jews to anything and everything Israeli, including the fallible human beings who make up its government at any given time, did not always exist. Prior to World War II, there was a deep division among Jews as to the feasibility, or even the desirability of Zionism. After the war, the weight of opinion shifted dramatically toward the Zionist cause and support for the State of Israel. The Holocaust, and the subsequent founding of the State of Israel in 1948, understandably brought about many changes in the attitude of world Jewry toward Zionism. With each succeeding Arab-Israeli war, the Jewish world ran lead, with greater and greater will and determination, to the side of Israel. The survival of Israel, and its development into a military power, became an obsession with the Jewish people throughout the world. All other divisions and differences were forgotten. Financial support from the Jews in the U.S. continued to flow in ever-increasing volume, and the resources of the American Jewish community in political and economic power and influence were marshaled to the service of Israel. The spectacular victory of the Israeli army in the 1967 Six-Day War was followed by great joy and jubilation and the belief by many Israelis that they were invincible. Out of this emotional crucible, the Israeli mystique emerged. The American Jewish community became, by stages, captivated, seduced, and, finally, blinded by the mystique. The non-Jewish population of the U.S. was, and still is, arbitrarily and simplistically classified by Jews as for or against Israel, completely ignoring the fact that there are at least 17 political parties in Israel. Some want peace, some want war, some want to expel the Arabs and resettle all of ancient Israel, others are willing to give up all occupied Arab territories for peace. Some are hawks and some are doves. American Jewry, however, became more militant than the Israelis themselves. On some issues, when the Prime Minister of Israel could muster the support of a bare majority of the Knesset, the Israeli lobby could deliver almost the entire Senate and President of the U.S. A number of reasons have been suggested by Jewish writers for the consuming passion which has characterized the attitude of many American Jews toward the Israelis. One of the most challenging is that suggested by James Yaffe in his book, The American Jews. Yaffe points out that it is often said all Jews are cowards, that no Jew has the guts to fight. However, he writes, the Jew today can invoke Israel to convince the world that this stereotype is false. This is why even the most unwarlike American Jews delight in stories about the impact of Israel's military prowess. It is Israel's power, its guts, which impress American Jews. The implied, and sometimes spoken, conclusion is that'll show the Gentiles what kind of stuff we are made of. He sees Israel as a vicarious extension of himself. By identifying with those bronzed invincible heroes, he somehow takes on some of the bravery, some of the strength, that he feels he could never possess unaided. There is a strong strain of magic in this, the superstitious magic of primitive people who believe that, by drinking the tiger's blood, or wearing his skin, they can assume the characteristics of the tiger. Of course, if either the Jew, or the Gentile, he supposedly is trying to impress, knew anything about Jewish history, some of which appears in the first chapter of this book, they would know that the Hebrew tribes were among the most warlike people in the ancient world. As we have seen, even after they were occupied by the Romans, the Jews of Judea, as well as those in the diaspora, became the most belligerent, rebellious, intractable people in the entire Roman Empire. Throughout most of history, the Jews have been an indomitable, determined and aggressive people. Today's Israeli army, with the advantage of some of the finest weaponry in the world, is no more heroic, and their exploits no more remarkable, than those of the Maccabees, who fought and won a guerrilla war against the Syrian armies with simple weapons and abundant courage. Viewed over the immense span of Jewish history, it becomes clear that the ghetto Jew, particularly as caricatured in 18th and 19th century Russia and Poland, is a historic anomaly. Unfortunately, in the past, the American Jewish community has not limited its relationships with Israel simply to a supporting role. It has often been openly militant to the point of inciting and provoking even a harder line by the Israeli hawks in the government. Past efforts to convince American Jews of their important role in the search for peace have been rebuffed and labeled as anti-Semitic. Such an effort was made by the Quakers who, after an exhaustive analysis of the Middle East situation, made the following plea: "We appeal to the leaders of the powerful American Jewish community, whose hard work and generous financial support have been so important to the building and sustaining of Israel, to reassess the character of their support and the nature of their role in American politics. our impersonation is that there is a tendency for the American Jewish establishment to identify themselves with the more hardline element